It's weird that I'm going to thank Georgie Music for the Hockman and Crowder and Solana 3 o'clock anthem when I'm not included in it. Not salty about it at all. It is great.
It is good. I like his song. Jimmy's Asleep gets me every time. I giggle at Jimmy's Asleep and McRib and your Boca.
And honestly, like, he just looked at us, he's laughing, Jimmy is, and he does kind of look like he was just waking up.
Jimmy be sleep, man.
What's going on? Why?
Solana is out until next week. Hawk will be back tomorrow, and then Alex Dono will be in for the guys on Friday. I know Crowder really appreciated this text from Solana earlier today. He sent us a picture from the flight, said, "Hey guys, I'm taking off and I'll let you know when I land." I thought that was so nice of our friend to do because we are concerned about him. And I know Crowder felt the same. So I'm looking forward to getting the text from Solana that he landed safely in Uruguay.
I don't want you to involve me in statements that I disagree with because I don't give a damn when another grown man gets on a plane and takes off and if he lands. I don't care. Josh, are you going anywhere soon? You travel a lot with work. Do not text me. I'm on the plane. Talk to you soon. Who gives a damn? I don't care that you're on the plane. Leave me alone.
Yeah, Solana texted us a picture and said, "Ready for takeoff. Let you guys know when I land in Panama." And Crowder lovingly responded, "I don't give a bleep."
I don't care that you're on the plane. No. A million people fly a day. Why do I care if you're on the plane?
He's our friend.
Solana. Not my job. I don't care. I'm not flying the plane. I'm not a pilot. If I was, I'd be Denzel off Flight.
All right. In that case, I would clap at the end of the flight if we landed. If Denzel from Flight was my pilot.
I'll figure it out, man. We'll figure this thing out on the back end.
How would you like to see the Zach Brown Band at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December? It's so easy to enter. You can log on to the Odyssey app and listen to WQAM for 1 hour. For more chances, listen every day and you could win. The winner receives round trip airfare to Vegas, 2 tickets to see Zach Brown, and a 2-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, which is directly connected to the Sphere. Don't miss out. Log on to the Odyssey app now. It's a national contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/Zach, Z-A-C. Special thanks to Messina Touring Group. And if you do end up winning that, at the beginning of your flight, we'll also give you Crowder's cell phone number so you can text him that you're taking off. And you can also text him when you land to let him know that you arrived safely. That's also part of the contest.
My wife does it to me sometimes. We'll be at dinner with a couple. And then we leave Komodo. We leave Jay Alexander. We go home. Did you talk to T? For what? Make sure he got home safe. We're 40 years old. He's not 16. He's 40. It's not my responsibility to make sure he gets home safe. It's ridiculous.
I've always been that guy, though. And we've talked about this before. I've always been that guy with my friends. I mean, I live my really close friends down here in South Florida. We live probably at least like 20, 25 minutes, if not more, away from each other. So if we're ever hanging out, and they leave the house at like 11:30 or around midnight, I say, "Hey, just shoot me a text when you get home. Let me know you got home safe." Because I care about my friends. I care about the people that I interact with every day.
I use T. He was the best man at my wedding. He's actually T and J. Jermaine and Tremaine McCullum. Play with him in Florida. They were the best men at my wedding. Yeah. Brian Crum, Lewis, all these dudes. My friends for 30 years. Steven Jacobs, I texted with him today. We went to high school together. He played next to me. I don't give a damn if your old ass can't get home safe. You're a man.
You're a bad friend.
We're not children, Joshua. One of your friends live down here in South Florida, 25 minutes from you. What's his name?
We'll go Brendan. Brendan's one of them.
You don't trust Brendan enough to get his grown ass home?
Of course I do.
What?
But I just want to make sure. What if he doesn't?
That's his fault.
Listen, just because you don't love your friends doesn't mean you have to take it out on them like this.
And what are you going to do?
It doesn't seem like you care about them at all.
He leaves your house at 12. 12:25 comes around and you get no call. You gonna go ride on 95 and look on the side of the road for his Civic?
I mean, if I texted him and he didn't answer me, maybe.
You're gonna go ride around and look for the Civic sitting in the ditch.
Listen, if it's for one of my best friends, you bet your ass I am.
Man, come on. And then if he's in the ditch, what are you gonna do when he's in the ditch? Nothing. All you're doing is waste of sleep.
I mean, that is such a cynical way of looking at friendship. Yeah, my friends are not a waste of time.
Appel, you're wasting sleep by waiting for another grown man to get home.
I'll take a nap when I get back.
I'm going to watch Yellowstone. Me and John Dutton are going to have us a good time that night.
I guarantee you John Dutton texts his family when he takes off for a flight in his private jet. I guarantee you when they go from one end of the ranch to the other in Montana, wherever they're at, that John Dutton is sending a text to his family. Hey, guys, I got here. Guarantee
it. No. If you don't know Rip then, because Rip don't need no help, because Rip's a grown man. And Beth and Rip, they don't need anyone checking on them.
No, what have Beth and Rip ever done?
Beth got blown up and smoked a cigarette afterwards. I said, whoo, my kind of lady. Well,
now, imagine how much better her friends would feel and family if before she blew up, she texted them, hey, I'm about to blow up. And then she blows up. She says, hey, guys, I'm okay. I'm smoking a cigarette now.
You know what? That's just selfish. This is clapping at a movie.
What?
This is selfish of you. It's just like clapping at a movie. Oh, yeah. Great job, Avengers. Great job. Hey, Brandon, I'm so concerned with our friendship. I want to make sure you get home safe. This is for you. This isn't for Brandon in the Civic.
You know, sometimes if the roles are reversed and I leave someone's house and it's a far drive, I will unsolicited say, hey, just got home.
Well, listen, take me off the text thread if you start that, because I don't want to know if you got home or not.
I am literally going every time I get to and from any place I drive to from now on.
I'll text you guys when I get home.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Jimmy, don't start. I don't play these games. My phone beeps. I think something's going on. If you say I'm home safe, I might drive down there and jump on you.
Well, listen, after what we saw yesterday, Jimmy went sleeveless on the show. He might be able to take you, Crowder.
Yeah. Jimmy, you ain't got Nan Callis on your hand, do you?
He stretches, though.
I do stretch.
You got boss baby hands. You got softies.
Cotton balls. Now,
I can't remember specifically, but I think I saw Boss Baby in the theater, and I did clap at the end of Boss Baby.
Hey, man, I've watched Boss Baby about 600 times. This is my 5-year-old's favorite movie. Boss Baby is a good movie.
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, Boss Baby got some stuff to him. Boss Baby would never call somebody and tell them I got home safe.
Well, he's a baby. He can't drive.
He rides that little pedal car.
That doesn't count.
Man, stop leaving these grown men alone. Let them get home and deal with life. Little trust fund babies. You hang out with trust fund babies. They need support all the time.
You think I hang out with trust fund babies, huh?
Is that what
you think of me?
Brandon in the Civic needs you to check on him if he's a grown man driving at 12:15 at night. He's a grown man, Brandon.
Well, his name is Brendan, so.
Brendan in the Civic? I pray to God Brendan has a Civic.
He doesn't. But it works. We got Cameron Wolf from NFL Network, national reporter, joining us next segment. We'll talk about the Dolphins, where they go from here in the secondary, some other NFL storylines. But Crowder, Tua Tagovailoa today spoke to the media, and I don't know if he's just saying this because he knows he's not going to play a lot, but Tua Tagovailoa said today, if it was up to him, he'd get some more run during these preseason games. New season, wants to get reacclimated with the guys. They are going to scrimmage a few times, but he wants to play a little more than starting quarterbacks normally do. Now, this is from Marcel Louis Jacques' article today on ESPN.com about this Under Mike McDaniel, Tagovailoa's preseason snaps have decreased in each of the first three regular season, or excuse me, each of the first three seasons together in the preseason, 15 and 22, 13 and 23, and only five passes in the preseason last year. I go back and forth on this because we know that Tua is obviously injury prone and it's derailed their season a couple of times in his Dolphins tenure to this point. But I do think there's something to be said for getting more than just five reps in the preseason like he got last year. I don't know how you experience the preseason as a player, but do you want to see more from Tua Tagovailoa in the preseason this year? Or are you just kind of like, we get the idea. You know what you're doing. You've been in this offense long enough. Like, this doesn't need to be a thing for you.
Yeah, I always tell the Junior Seau preseason story because I was a rookie. But the linebacking core was myself, Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, Junior Seau. So I walked in the league with three Hall of Famers. They would ask how many snaps I have to play. Not that I am playing. They would say it as have to play. And if that first series goes long, you'd see them looking over at the DC waving like, hey, I'm at eight. I'm at 10 snaps. Get me the hell out of here. Zach Thomas, Junior Seau, Jason Taylor in 2005 – we're not going to do anything in a preseason game versus the Jaguars that was going to make them a better player. I think Tua at this point, Pro Bowl quarterback, thousands of attempts, you know, 60% completion percentage, all the numbers we've seen Tua do, he's also a Pro Bowler. Tua is not going to become better. There's no timing that him and Tyreek are going to get down with him playing but 5 or 15 snaps in a preseason game. They just don't – like, I think young guys need to get in there. I think guys that aren't in shape, that aren't ready for the NFL, need to play those games. But honestly, Josh, like I play Sam Madison, I can, if I really think about it, I played with some guys that were at their prime of their career. There was nothing Sam Madison was going to do in a preseason game to make him a better cornerback. JT to make a better pass rusher. Zach to make a better linebacker. Keith Traylor to make a better nose guard. I could just go through it all day. It sounds good. I don't even think Tua believes this. When you were reading it, my first thing, I sucked my teeth. Tua wants to sound like a team leader. Tua doesn't want to play in the damn preseason.
That's what I'm saying. Like, aside from Jonnu, like, who are the new pieces on this? Like, Darren Waller's not going to play at all. I mean, is it that important that you get reps in a game with Nick Westbrook Akine that you got to play a decent bit? No. And they're going to have scrimmages, too, where he'll get some good run. I think they're scrimmaging Chicago, Detroit, and the Jags outside of just the three preseason games. They're going to get the reps there. I don't know, aside from guys who are, to your point, who are trying to get back into game shape, who are trying to make the team or coming back from injury, just try and get back into game shape. I'm not really sure the benefit of playing at three-quarter speed in the preseason, how that really helps anything outside of what you would normally do in practice.
It doesn't. And we played in the Hall of Fame game. My rookie year was Dan Marino's induction. We played up in Canton. We played the Bears. I don't know who the running backs were. None of them were in the NFL after that game or the game after. I hit Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams at practice. You think I couldn't tackle this guy back up from SMU when he was in the fourth quarter? Like, no, man. If they're going to be ready to play, they'll be ready to play through practice and the joint practices because they're playing a lot of joint practices. I think they're going to the Lions early, which is a very physical team. Like I think I said this last year, I would want to see the joint practice over a preseason game because the preseason game is all calculated. Them joint practices, like these linebackers are going to have to go up and run up on Jahmyr Gibbs in a situation. Amon Ross St. Brown.
Yeah.
Storm Duck. One-on-ones, big dog. Look, let me see that. I want to see you go against him. That is where you get better. These preseason games are they took it from 4-3. If they go to 18, they're gonna take it from 3-2. Like preseason games aren't really where you get better. I would say that.
Cameron Wolf's going to join us in the next segment, and one of the scrimmages the Dolphins do have is against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They'll also play the Jaguars in the preseason, their final preseason game, and I'm curious to see what Cam says about this. He was out at Jaguars camp. Travis Hunter is going to try and do this two-way wide receiver corner situation. And I'm really curious to see how he thinks that's going to go and where he eventually settles in. But before we get to Cam Wolf in the next segment, let's get our headlines here with Dan Day in the 3 o'clock hour.
And they're brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Former FAU Owl and current Cincinnati Bengal Trey Hendrickson, he reported to camp today. He's still got the contract negotiations going on with the team, but they hope to get them done soon.
They got to resign him. They got to resign Trey. That man's a monster.
NBA insider Jeff Fisher says the Heat weighed trading Terry Rozier to Memphis for Marcus Smart, but could not come to an organizational consensus if that would make the team actually better. Of course, Rozier remains with the Heat, while Smart is now a Laker.
They didn't call me. Rozier is not making any team better.
All bookie team, maybe.
There's still a thing to come from that, right? Like, that's not closed on Rozier.
That's it. Well, speaking of Rozier, I bet you he's not going to make the team better if that's what he wants to do.
Take the under.
Yeah, I was going to say, talking about betting on yourself.
You might want to bet on Sandy Alcantara, though. He threw 5 innings strong yesterday of no-run baseball. Gave up 3 hits, struck out 4. Marlins beat the Cardinals 5-0. The 2 play again tonight, 7:45. MLB trade deadline tomorrow at 6.
That's back-to-back shutouts for Sandy in his last 2 starts. Are they his last 2 as a Marlin? We'll talk to Craig Mish about that in the 4 o'clock hour.
I think he was dogging it, Josh. Early in the season, he was playing around waiting for them to say he can't play no more and then go out here and start dealing.
4D chess, he wanted to sabotage his own trade value to stay with the Marlins for another year. Is that what you're alleging?
Never mind, as you put it that way, yeah, I don't know. He's rehabbing as he came back.
Miami Hurricanes, they held their media day today in Coral Gables. They will open practice tomorrow. And also, I want to talk about this. I know you're a big hockey fan, Appel. ESPN lists, oh no, not ESPN, The Athletic lists Sam Reinhart's 8-year, $8.62 million a year contract as the NHL's 4th best valued contract that he signed this offseason.
What are the top 3?
I didn't look at them.
Oh, very good.
All I know is we got Sam Bennett, but that's the highest one they gave for the Panthers.
The Panthers have literally an entire team's worth of contracts that are that value. So not surprised. If that was just this offseason, A+. If we're going the last 2 or 3 off seasons, hard to beat what they're getting out of Gustav Forsling for that price and what he's done for the Panthers.
One more headline. Inter Miami, they've got League's Cup play tonight, 7:30 at home against Mexico's Atlas.
That's League's Cup. Hopefully Inter Miami can win that title again. Another trophy in the case for Leo Messi with Inter Miami.
At last.
Yeah, that's it.
And on to weather. Summertime and the living is easy.
I bet you Leo Messi texts his friends when he takes off and lands on his flights.
I bet Leo Messi doesn't because he's a grown man.
We'll ask Cameron Wolf if he does that. He joins us next from NFL Network. We'll talk some NFL with him. That's coming up next on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana Show.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Ain't no way Solana got a degree.
Cam Wolf, national reporter for NFL Network, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Cam, thanks for taking the time. I know you're very busy with your training camp tour, and I want to dive right into it. You've been in Jacksonville. You've been here. And I'm curious... this is a very open-ended question, but from what you've seen with the Dolphins so far, great song, by the way. What are your expectations for the Dolphins this year? Obviously, we know they're a disaster in the secondary right now. Another injury with Kader Kohu, so a lot to figure out there, and we'll get to that as well. But overall, what are you expecting from this team, given all the noise from last year and through the offseason?
Yeah, I think this the team itself has the least amount of talent it's had in the Mike McDaniel era, from what I can see. And so they're going to try to win it with a little bit of what they feel is addition by subtraction, getting rid of some guys in that building who were maybe not as bought in the Mike McDaniel mentality, and kind of promoting new leaders in there, and having them have a different level of accountability. I've been at practice a few days. They've been running wind sprints. They've been doing up downs when they make mistakes. That's the first time I've seen that in the 3 years that Mike McDaniel's been here. So those are maybe some examples of what they're hoping is different. The names won't be as flashy beyond the main three or four, but they're hoping they're a little bit more conjoined as a team than maybe they were in previous years. So right now I'm in the prove it stage. You know, I've been optimistic in the past and been burnt. Does this look like a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl right now? I don't see it, but I'm willing to be surprised. And that's what July is for.
And Cam, is Tua empowered? Because he came out, he kind of, you want to say, called out Tyreek Hill. He said he has to make up for what he did in the season last season. Like, what does that look like with Tyreek? And is Tua he that leader now? Have they empowered Tua to the point that he can really check people and run that building like a star quarterback should?
Gotcha. I think that what he said about Tyreek to me was the most expansive version of leadership we've seen from Tua in his time there. And it's funny, we talked to him on NFL Network on Saturday, and I asked him, I'm like, hey, 2 or 3 years ago, you wouldn't have called Tyreek out like that. And he's like, nah, I would have been worried about, you know, talking about my teammate. And he was like, no, we have standards. You got to uphold them. And I think that's an example of what may be sticky, but that's the type of leadership this team needs. You know, it's not always being buddy-buddy. It's not always just saying we're all good. It's calling people out when they are you know, screwing up. And that's certainly what Tyreek did. And so I think I like early signs of this version of Tua, but it's also easy to be the leader in July when you're 0-0. We'll see how it goes when it's, you know, December and January.
Cam, more bad news for the Dolphins on the injury front with Kader Kohou being ruled out for the season earlier today by Mike McDaniel. Second defensive back they've lost for the season due to injury. Still unclear on the Ashton Davis timeline. Where do they go at corner from here? It feels a little late in the game. I mean, they can, I guess, bandage it up with a couple of veteran signings, but what's your read on what they are trying to do now, given the injury situation at corner?
Yeah, Josh, that's the weakest position on this team right now. It's the thinnest. There's not a lot of proven depth. I couldn't tell you one guy on that roster right now at corner who would start on half the other teams in the league. And so I think that's a challenge for all those guys to step up in the opportunity. You know, the vets they just signed are probably their two most talented guys and guys that I would trust the most. And they've just been there 2 days talking about Jack Jones and Mike Hilton. And so they still got to learn the scheme. They still got to figure out what they're doing. But those are the guys who have played NFL games and have had success. Mike Hilton's a dog. You know, I've watched him and been around him in Cincy plenty of times. He's going to stick his nose in there and run defense. He's going to blitz off the edge. He may be 5'9", 180 pounds, but he'll go through Derrick Henry like he's 250 pounds. So you may have some differing cover skills with him. He's over 30 now. He's not as fast as he once was, but he's bringing that mentality. And Jack Jones always had the talent. It's just because he had the discipline off the field. He's got himself in trouble in multiple places. So that's the two question marks for those guys. But they're probably going to end up being your top two. I know they've had conversations with Rasul Douglas, but the numbers aren't there yet. You know, he's not willing to take what they're offering. So I'm not sure if this makes them up their offer. But I know they've had talks with him and Asante Samuel Jr. as well. Stephon Gilmore as well. And so I wouldn't be surprised if one of those three guys gets added into this room too.
Hey, Cam, off the field, you know, mayhem ain't bad. You know, I was off the field mayhem guy, but I make a tackle every now and then.
Right. You handle your business, right?
Yeah, I come on Sunday, Cam, but yeah, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, I was going to enjoy myself in Miami. But Cam, one of the biggest things you're talking about, the weakest point or the biggest question mark is the secondary. But I would also say offensively, it's the backup quarterback. Are we in a better place? Because we kept Skylar Thompson around for 3 years. He got in the game. We saw he wasn't ready. And then now we're throwing out Tim Boyle and all that. Knock on wood, you know, the clause with Tua Tagovailoa is if he stays healthy. He will be a Pro Bowler if he plays 17 games, but he's only done it once. Do you like what they did with Zach Wilson and with Quinn Ewers drafting him, you know, in later rounds this year to back up Tua? Are we in the best situation at backup quarterback that we've been in since Tua's been here?
I definitely think it's better than what it was last year. I thought Teddy Bridgewater was a good backup for him when he was there. I probably would have him as an edge over Zach Wilson. But I'll tell you this, like, they see some things in Zach, obviously. That, you know, he's got a strong arm. They think they can continue to develop him. And Quinn Ewers, I'll give him this. This last week of training camp, he's looked like a different quarterback. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I watched him at OTAs, and I was wondering, is this guy even going to make the practice squad? He had some rough days out there. But during training camp, he's looked a little bit more polished. He's had a little bit more success. And you can see what their development process is there. So, yeah, I like it. But I think, you know, the Colts said one day, you know, if our starting quarterback gets hurt, we're effed, and we don't practice F. So this season – the season's in the tank if Tua's out for a significant time. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
I was saying that earlier this week, that if Zach Wilson's got to play more than like two or three games at minimum, probably not going to bode too well for what's in store for them this season. I want to zoom out a little bit, Cam, to some national stories here. You've also been at Jaguars camp. New head coach Liam Cohen there. But the big story is that Travis Hunter is really going to give this a go, playing both receiver and corner. How do you think that's going to go? And eventually, where do you think he settles in, either at receiver or at corner? Because it just feels like eventually he'll have to pick one of the two.
Yeah, it's a great question. I was down there Sunday, and I really wanted to see, because we all got all these questions, how he's going to handle the NFL physicality, the playbook. And I'll tell you what, just the one day I watched him, he looked on point. Like, he was playing cornerback. He made two or three pass breakups, including one on Brian Thomas, where he was giving up maybe 5 inches and still made a play in the red zone. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. Because, you know, wide receiver is a position that he spent the most time in. He's probably spent maybe 25% of his reps at corner. And if he looks like that with 25% of the reps, I'm like, man, this guy has a unique knack of making it happen. You know, Anthony Campanelli, who was down here for a while as our defensive coordinator, and he was like, it's just natural. He's like, he's in our meeting rooms, but he's not really with us, and he still knows just as much as everybody else. So his football IQ is what gives him a shot to truly do it. I think he'll end up being a full-time receiver to start. They think that's how he can impact the game more, because they can actually control when he's touching the ball compared to defense. So you'll see him be a full-time receiver and then kind of get eased in at corner. And eventually he's going to try to take, you know, majority of the snaps on both sides of the ball. We'll see, you know, how much it is. But you'll see him primarily be a receiver and then work in on those situational drills at corner. And I do think he can do it.
And Travis went high. The Jags went up to get him. But the big story, yep, to all, you know, this year, this training camp, this draft, was Shedeur Sanders. And with Cleveland, first off, I think it was dumb as hell what they did. Getting Flacco, trading for Kenny Pickett, now drafting Dylan Gabriel and drafting Shedeur Sanders. What happens in the quarterback room? Do they carry four? Like, because you just drafted two young guys, and then Joe Flacco's the starter. Just the whole dynamic is crazy to me, Cam. What happens in that room? And Jimmy Haslam just came out, I think it was yesterday, and was like, "Oh, I didn't approve the Sanders pick." Like, it's just, I don't know if the Browns are going to be the Browns at some point, but how does that work out in Cleveland?
Yeah, Shannon, I think that's the biggest question mark of training camp. Like, what is going on with the Browns? Which is a question every year, but it's a different way this time. I do think that you'll get to see Shedeur in preseason. And I'm eager to see him, because I'm actually going to their first preseason game against the Panthers, because he has not got many reps during practice. Like, every time I go see my barber, he's like, "Hey, how's Shedeur doing?" And I'm like, "I don't know. He ain't playing on the field. Like, I can't tell you." There's just not, as you know this, that there's only so many reps that go on in practice and camp, and there's even less and less with these shortened practices. So, you know, you're a fourth team quarterback, you might get three reps every day. It's hard to get an evaluation of who he is. Now, Kenny Pickett's now hurt, so now they only have three, and it looks like he's going to be out at least a week or two. And so I think you'll see, you know, maybe that first week of through preseason, Shedeur getting more reps than possible, but than usual. But eventually they're going to have to make a decision to get rid of one of these four guys, probably via trade. My guess is they keep the two rookies and trade one of the vets, Flacco or Pickett, whoever loses the job. But Shadur's not going to start week one, but the Browns will probably be a bad team, so he's probably going to play at some point during the season. He was not in their initial plans to draft, clearly, with them being in the fifth round, but I think it came to a point where they were like, the talent just makes too much sense for him to be sitting here. And, you know, everybody, I'll say this, you mentioned Jimmy Haslam. I guarantee you this, if Shadur ends up working out, everybody's going to have their hand up and say they had a role in making the pick. It's easy to say right now you didn't have a role in it, but I think they were all on the same page when they took him.
I'm almost rooting for Shadur Sanders solely for that, to see Jimmy Haslam do the switch up to try and take credit for it. try and take credit for it later on. There are some other pretty major NFL storylines going on right now, including three high-profile contract disputes. Micah Parsons with the Cowboys, Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals. Trey Hendrickson actually is reporting to the Bengals today, but still without a contract, last I read. And then Terry McLaurin with the Commanders. It seems like the first two names, Parsons and Hendrickson, those two are a little more have a little more friction to those negotiations than Terry McLaurin. But I know it's three all at once that I'm asking about, but how do you see those three situations ending here?
Yeah, I'll rank them in most likely to get done before the season. Trey Hendrickson should get done. I think they were actually very close last week from what I understood. They were like within, you know, fractions, and then something went wrong in the guarantees, and now they both took a step back. But I think that deal will get done. I think they're close enough that, you know, he'll be there week one, and right now he's showing up and probably going to do some sort of hold-in like a lot of these guys do these days, but I think he'll be in Stowe. The Micah situation is interesting because, like, they've made no progress. Like, Jerry has not talked, from what I understand, at all to his agent, David Mulligetta. He's, you know, they had this kind of beef that happened in the middle of offseason where, you know, Jerry said he didn't know who his agent was and he would just want to talk to Micah. And so Micah said he's not doing any negotiations until he talks to his agent. There has not been any conversation in months. And so I just, it doesn't seem like a great way to handle your best player. But, you know, you never know what Jerry Jones' mindset is. So that, to me, might be the furthest one away. And then Terry McLaurin, his situation actually just got a little stickier this week because Courtland Sutton just signed a contract about $23 million a year. And that was a Washington comp for Terry McLaurin. Now, McLaurin wants closer to DK Metcalf, which is, you know, $30, $35 million a year. So now you're seeing the gap of, you know, $7 to $10 million a year. You know, a lot of times, the season brings compromise. My guess is they get some middle ground in before week one. But Trey, then Terry, then Micah, I'd say in order of most likely to get done by week one.
Jerry always does this weird thing where he steps in it like that. It's very bizarre. I don't understand. Dude's got the equivalent of hanging him up here at some point.
Did you hear Jerry say that dumb stuff talking about, well, he can get hit by a car? Well, boy, get that Vegas damn money.
Oh, man.
What is he talking about? Hey, Cam, on the way up, man, I got to ask you. I got to ask you because Josh and myself, we were talking about it earlier where Tua was saying he wants to play more in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I don't really think preseason games show much because it's so limited. It's a limited playbook. I think those joint practices, like with our secondary, I use the example, I want to see Storm Duck with no safety cover Amara St. Brown. Like, I want to see man-to-man real stuff. I believe the joint practices are way more telling than a preseason game. How do you feel about, you know, the preseason game meaning something over a joint practice or even a team-on-team practice when you have some dogs out there?
Yeah, Crowder, I'm with you 100%. I'm with you. I think that joint practices are way more valuable because you can, like, practice, like, direct situational drills. This could be, hey, we're in the red zone, four plays from the 10-yard line. Let's just go get it. And you can't duplicate those in a preseason game. You might get one drive where both starters are out there, and it might be a three and out. You know, it might be, you might not get any passes thrown Storm Duck's away. And so you can control how many of those high octane plays that you're just talking about you can have. And there also seems to be a different level of intensity in those joint practices. You know, you want to prove something. You want to be the better team on that field that day with your starters out there. Whereas preseason, so many guys are playing, nobody cares who actually wins the game. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think those joints, you get them with Detroit, with Amon, that defensive front they got on the other side is vicious, you know. And then even when you get down to Jacksonville, you know, you have their front be able to challenge your offensive line with Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker and Eric Armstead. I can't wait to see them in the joint practices in full action.
Cam Wolf, NFL Network, national reporter. Always great stuff. Always appreciate you taking the time to join us. Good luck with the rest of your training camp tour. Safe travels, and appreciate your time as always.
Josh Crowder, love y'all. Have a great rest of your show, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you. That's Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, national reporter, joining us here on the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show. Back with the 4 o'clock hour after this.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
You have Tua, you can make Tua Tartar.